First of all, I'd like to read a few verses in John 19, 19th chapter of the Gospel by John, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was a preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was in high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. We'll look at other scriptures as we go along. One wants to speak about this first, as that which is the foundation truth that you and I have received. And one might say a word, if there's any here who does not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, that unless you believe the words that we have just read, you don't have salvation. You're outside of Christ. But oh, for those of us who have believed the testimony that the Apostle John gave here, and as he says, he wrote it, he bare record that we might believe. And the truth contained in these words is the very foundation of our salvation. Without it, we're without hope and without God in the world. Most of us were here this morning for one specific purpose, and that purpose was to remember the Lord in his death. He asked us to remember him in his death. Did you remember the Lord this morning? Were you amongst those who have responded to his request to remember him? Oh, dear young person, if you're the Lord's and you haven't responded to the Lord's request, why haven't you? The Lord's sufferings were before us this morning. Yes. And the love that gave him, the love that brought him down here into this world in order that he might go to the cross and there make expiation for sin. Were your sins upon him on the cross? Well, let's contemplate a little bit the death of the Lord Jesus. The blessed Son of God, the one who was rich in glory, came down here into this world for you. And he died for you. No, dear precious Christian, young person, how much does it mean to you that the Lord Jesus came down here and loved you enough to bear your sins in his own body on the tree? How much do you value it? Oh, the Lord Jesus weighed thoroughly. He weighed perfectly what it was going to cost him before he went to the cross. We read this morning of his agony in the garden and how he said, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yes, he weighed what it would cost to bear your sins at Calvary. And in spite of the cost, he went there because he loved you. Yes, because he loved you. The Lord Jesus was fully aware of what was before him. And he went on to the cross. He would allow nothing to stand in the way. Not all the power of Satan bearing down upon him and presenting to him the awful consequences of going to the cross. Yet, he would go there in order that he might bear your sins, in order that he might have you with him in the glory. Well, in the verses we've read, we find the Lord Jesus on the cross. Yes, he is there, having borne sin's heavy load. Now that all things are accomplished, the Lord Jesus, in all the awareness of the one who was the Son of God incarnate, there's one scripture left to be fulfilled and faithful to the scriptures. He would see to it before he died. That scripture was fulfilled. He says, I thirst. Oh, think of it. The Son of God, the sustainer of life, the sustainer of those very ones that had nailed him to the cross, asking them for a drink as he hung there on the cross. The one who had been forsaken of God. The one who had been forsaken by all his followers, denied by one. Yes, and betrayed by Judas. He asks for a drink of water. Oh, what abject depths to which your Lord and mine went to at Calvary. And that's the one who has asked you to remember him in his death. And dear young person, as you and I remember the Lord this morning, where were your thoughts? Did you enter in, at least in your own capacity, into what the Lord Jesus had done for you? Did you see in him hanging on the cross the basis for your pardon? The work which he accomplished is your pardon from sin. Yes, your pardon was there. Oh, how guilty you and I were in the sight of God. And the Lord Jesus, in his work upon the cross, accomplished the pardon that you and I didn't deserve, but that God in his grace has granted to us who have believed on the name of his only begotten Son. Oh, how precious it is to think of these things, to contemplate the Lord Jesus. We can't enter into the depths that he went into. No, it's not for man to fathom those depths. And as we sometimes sing, the depths of all thy suffering no heart could e'er conceive. But oh, the Lord Jesus went into it. Yes, and he felt it deeply, as none but the holy, spotless Son of God could feel the load of sin. Sometimes, you know, our conscience would prick us. Yes, it was the load of our sins that brought us to Jesus. But oh, think of what sin meant to him when he went to the cross. Well, God in his grace has granted you and me a pardon, a free pardon. He was delivered for our offenses. And oh, what a blessed privilege it is to respond to the Lord Jesus in his request, to come together around him and to remember him at his own table. Now I'd like to look at a verse in the next chapter. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. The disciples, no doubt, had seen the Lord on the cross. Some of them, at least, had seen him put into the tomb. And now here's a little company of dejected disciples of the Lord Jesus. They're gathered together in one place. And I suppose they're saying, well, what are we going to do now? Well, they didn't have the scripture that we have, nor did they have the Holy Spirit at that time that we have. But they were those who had loved the Lord Jesus. And apparently with one consent, they had gathered together, no doubt to speak of the one whom they had followed for so many years, and now was gone from them. And you know that was blessed for them to be together like that. But into the midst of that company, here comes the risen Lord Jesus. And he says, Peace be unto you. Oh, they had been troubled. They didn't know what to do. But the Lord Jesus, in resurrection life, comes and stands in their very midst. Says, Peace be unto you. Well, now we have the one who was delivered for our offenses. Now he is raised again for our justification, so that he can, in resurrection life, say to them, Peace be unto you. Oh, what reassurance it had given the disciples. The one that they had loved was no longer in the tomb, no longer in death, but risen. Yes, he was in their midst. The Lord is in our midst here this morning. Though we didn't see him with a physical eye, yet by faith we saw him as the one in the midst, and rejoicing in the fact that his own were gathered together in his presence. Oh, what blessed truth it is that where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name, he is in the midst. Have you laid hold of that truth? That the Lord Jesus is actually in the midst of his own gathered together. Gathered together as we believe on the authority of the Word of God. Gathered together by the Holy Spirit. Yes. The Holy Spirit is the one who delights to take of the things of Christ and show them to us. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Oh, how it rejoices the heart of one who loves the Lord Jesus, to be consciously in his presence, around him. Yes, isn't it blessed to think that we have the privilege that the Holy Spirit, working in the heart, gives us the desire to be there, because naturally we wouldn't desire to be there. So, the Spirit of God is the one who draws the Lord's own people together to have fellowship together around the Lord. So the Lord Jesus here says, Peace be unto you. His word was that which reassured them and told them that their hopes that they had had in him before were not in vain. No, they were discouraged. We can see from other scriptures that how discouraged they were. There were two that turned their backs upon Jerusalem, and they were going to their own town, and their hearts were heavy, and they communed one to another. Yes, they communed, and they were sad along the way. But the Lord Jesus made himself known to them, and they returned to Jerusalem. Oh, think of Mary Magdalene at the sepulcher. There at the sepulcher, weeping. Oh, she says, they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. Oh, the Lord Jesus, in the midst of his own, can say, peace be unto you. And oh, when we know the work of the Lord Jesus, and we know him as the risen one, now in the glory, oh, what peace it gives to the heart to know that God is satisfied, perfectly satisfied with the work of his own Son, and that he's raised him to his own right hand in the glory. Death couldn't hold him. Now we turn over to the next chapter, verse 19. Perhaps we should read the 18th verse. The Lord is speaking to Peter here. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Peter, the one who had denied his Lord, now restored in soul and restored publicly, the Lord Jesus has a word for him. And that word is, follow me. Peter was exhorted to have the Lord Jesus as a pattern for his pathway in this world. And you and I, dear young Christian, also have a pattern in the Lord Jesus. The one is a man down here who walked perfectly in the path of faith. Never one moment of his pathway down here was he out of the path of faith. He walked as a perfect man in the midst of a world that hated him, that was against him. And he never did one thing apart from God his Father. No. He would not even, when he was hungry, make bread out of the stones. No. Nor would he, as a sinless one, in the garden, when he could have gone back to heaven before the cross, he wouldn't do it. No. He would go to the cross in obedience to his Father's will. And now the word to you and me is, follow him. Oh, may we do it in our pathway down here. Follow him. To have him as a pattern before our souls. To find him as the object set before us. The Apostle Paul had the Lord Jesus as his object. And as he writes to the Philippian saints in the third chapter of the Epistle to the Philippians, in the 13th verse, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the calling on high of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, the Apostle Paul had learned the value to his own soul of the Lord Jesus. He had seen him as a man in the glory, and he loved the Lord Jesus. He wanted to please him. And now with the Lord in the glory before him, he says, I'm going to forget the things that are behind, and I'm going to press on to that calling of God on high. We heard yesterday in our reading meeting of how to plow a straight furrow. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul was doing. He was going on in that race, straight on to glory. He didn't look behind him. He looked before him. Where do we have our sights? On the glory or on things down here? The things which we have said when we believed in the Lord Jesus, these things which we were leaving behind. Oh, have we in heart left behind us the things that belong to the world? The Apostle John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. No, all these things are not of the Father, but they're of the world. Where are your affections? On things above or on things down here? Oh, the Lord Jesus, the one who is the beginner and completer of faith. Yes, the beginner and completer of faith. And who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame. What was the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus? Oh, dear young person, I think that at least part of that joy was the fact that you and I would be trophies of that work at Calvary, that he would have you and me with him in the glory. Yes. And he's looking at it with joy to think that here were those once sinners going on to a lost eternity, but now made children of God by faith in him. That was some of the joy that was set before him. Is it your joy to look onward to that time when you and I will be with him in the glory? Oh, if it is, don't we want to live? What was the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus? Oh, dear young person, I think that at least part of that joy was the fact that you and I would be trophies of that work at Calvary, that he would have you and me with him in the glory. Yes. And he's looking at it with joy to think that here were those once sinners going on to a lost eternity, but now made children of God by faith in him. That was some of the joy that was set before him. Is it your joy to look onward to that time when you and I will be with him in the glory? Oh, if it is, don't we want to live in the good of it now? To have him as our pattern, as on we go. Or do we want to live down here in a world and like the world that is going on to judgment? You know, we look around us on every hand and we see the current events shaping up for coming judgment, for the judgment which God is going to pour out upon this Christ-rejecting world. And it's coming fast. And the world is in such a condition today that actually the judgment could start tomorrow. But there's one event that is coming before that. God has promised that is going to keep you and me, who have believed in the Lord Jesus, going to keep us from that hour of temptation which is coming upon all the world to try them which dwell upon the earth. So let's look at the 22nd verse, or 21st verse. Peter, seeing him, that is John, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? The Lord Jesus is announcing that he's coming again. And it may be this very day that he would come for you and me to take us out of this world. Oh, what a moment that will be when he comes to take us out of this world, to be with himself. This world, which is a wilderness to the child of God. Nothing down here in this world to satisfy that new nature, that divine nature which God has given to us. But oh, we have his promise that he's coming again. Oh, may we live in the good of it. May we live with that before us. And may we live as those that momentarily expect to be called out of the world to be with himself. Oh, if we do, what a difference it makes in our lives down here. Oh, sometimes we see Christians settling down as though this is where they were going to live and die. We don't look for death. No. We look for the Lord to come to take us out of the world. We look for the Lord to come that our salvation, which was wrought at Calvary, will be made good to us. Yes, will be made good to us. Finally, when our salvation will be perfect in that day, and when will be made good to us all the results that work in removing from us the effects of sin, and giving us that joy of being in his very presence, to see him as he is. We behold him now by faith, but in that day, we're going to see him, and we're going to see in him all the marks that he sustained at Calvary. We're going to see that face so marred, more than any man's, his form more than the sons of men. We're going to see him. Oh, how blessed that it will be with bodies of glory that we'll see him. Yes. And we'll be all together like him in that day.